Let us turn for our instruction in the Word of God to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus, chapter 28, reading from the verse 15 through to the end of the chapter. This is the Word of God. Come, let us hear His holy Word. Thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment with cunning work. After the work of the ephod, thou shalt make it of gold, of blue, and of purple, and of scarlet, and of fine twined linen shalt thou make it. Four square it shall be, being doubled. A span shall be the length thereof, and a span shall be the breadth thereof. And thou shalt set it in settings of stones, even four rows of stones. The first row shall be a sardis, a topaz, and a carbuncle. This shall be the first row. And the second row shall be an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond. And the third row, a lega, an agate, and an amethyst. And the fourth row, a beryl, and an onyx, and a jasper. They shall be set in gold in their enclosings. And the stone shall be with the names of the children of Israel, 12 according to their names, like the engravings of a signet. Every one with his name shall they be, according to the 12 tribes. And thou shalt make upon the breastplate chains at the ends of the wreathen work of pure gold. And thou shalt make upon the breastplate two rings of gold, and shalt put the two rings on the two ends of the breastplate. And thou shalt put the two wreathen chains of gold in the two rings which are on the ends of the breastplate. And the other two ends of the two wreathen chains thou shalt fasten in the two ouches, and put on the shoulder pieces of the ephod before it. And thou shalt make two rings of gold, and thou shalt put them upon the two ends of the breastplate, in the border thereof, which is in the side of the ephod inward. And two other rings of gold thou shalt make, and shalt put them on the two sides of the ephod underneath, toward the forepart thereof, over against the other coupling thereof, above the curious girdle of the ephod. And they shall bind the breastplate by the rings thereof unto the rings of the ephod with a lace of blue, that it may be above the curious girdle of the ephod, and that the breastplate be not loosed from the ephod. And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart, when he goeth in unto the holy place, for a memorial before the Lord continually. And thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord. And Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. And thou shalt make the robe of the ephod all of blue, and there shall be an hole in the top of it, in the midst thereof. It shall have a binding of woven work round about the whole of it, as it were the whole of an habergeon, that it be not rent. And beneath upon the hem of it thou shalt make pomegranates of blue, and of purple, and of scarlet, round about the hem thereof, and bells of gold between them round about, a golden bell and a pomegranate, a golden bell and a pomegranate, upon the hem of the robe round about. And it shall be upon Aaron to minister, and his sound shall be heard when he goeth in unto the holy place before the Lord, and when he cometh out, that he die not. And thou shalt make a plate of pure gold, and grave upon it, like the engravings of a signet, holiness to the Lord. And thou shalt put it on a blue lace, that it may be upon the mitre. Upon the foremost of the mitre it shall be, and it shall be upon Aaron's forehead, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things which the children of Israel shall hallow in all their holy gifts. And it shall be always upon his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. And thou shalt embroider the coat of fine linen, and thou shalt make the mitre of fine linen, and thou shalt make the girdle of needlework. And for Aaron's sons thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make for them girdles and bonnets, shalt thou make for them, for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother, and his sons with him, and shall anoint them, and consecrate them, and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness, from the loins even unto the thighs they shall reach. And they shall be upon Aaron and upon his sons, when they come in unto the tabernacle of the congregation, or when they come near unto the altar to minister in the holy place, that they bear not iniquity and die. It shall be a statute forever unto him and his seed after him. Amen. So reads the word of Almighty God. His blessed, holy, sacred, infallible, inerrant word. May the Lord bless that public reading for his glory and to the good of our poor and never dying souls. Congregation, I draw your prayerful attention once again to those words which I read to you in the chapter 28 of the book of Exodus, as we continue week by week to go through the book of Exodus in this verse-by-verse ministry of God's word, seeking line upon line, precept by precept, to understand God's word, to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of these things which speak of the Lord Jesus. When the Lord Jesus met those two on the road to Emmaus, he expounded all things in the scriptures concerning himself. All the scriptures testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. The things of the tabernacle speak concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, his personhood, and the saving work which he would do for his people. And no less does this priesthood, this Levitical priesthood, which we have been studying and being taken up with over the last few weeks. So we come now to the verse 15 of chapter 28. And thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment with cunning work. After the work of the ephod, thou shalt make it of gold, of blue, and of purple, and of scarlet, and of fine twined linen, thou shalt make it. The Lord helping us again this morning to understand and to apply these things as we continue our study of not only the tabernacle, but the priesthood and the sacrifices, these things which are prefigurations of the saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we have seen in our studies of Hebrews chapter 9, the verse 24, they are all figures of things to come. There are many that perhaps may think that we're arrogant and foolish when we say that these things speak of Christ, but certainly when we study the epistle to the Hebrews, we realize that God tells us that that is exactly what these things are. They are shadows of good things to come, Hebrews 10 and the verse 1. They all speak to the everlasting priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who ever liveth to intercede for us. We are not making things up. We are simply expounding the word and looking at these shadows, these types of the Lord Jesus. Our Lord Jesus, as we saw last week, has a continuing priesthood, Hebrews 7, verse 24. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Now, of course, even when we're in glory, we shall have our Lord Jesus Christ. We will only ever be there because of his righteousness, because of his shed blood for us, although we will be in a glorified state. It is true that our sins are forgiven in Christ. They are washed away. They were as crimson, but they are now made white as snow. But he will ever still be our Savior. He will forever be our Lord. Now, I trust that it's becoming ever so much more evident to you through our studies as we consider the tabernacle and the priesthood. It's becoming ever so more obvious to you that these things evidently speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've seen it time and time again, the various things within the tabernacle. Time doesn't afford us to go through those things this morning. But I trust that this is not fanciful thought. This is not being high-minded, as we can so often be accused of. This is not running wild with what we would call poetical license, that we're just making up things, but these things are truly types and shadows that God has declared they are. If God has said that these things are types and shadows, if we deny that and say that these things have no spiritual significance, we are the ones then who could be rightly charged of being arrogant and proud. So let us take to mind that God has said that these things are types and shadows, these things are prefigurations of Christ. And let us therefore continue to see these things. Now there is a consistency, as we have seen, from the tabernacle into the priesthood with regards to things like the material used and the various colors. We've seen this with regards to the veil of the temple. Remember how we read in Hebrews chapter 10, the verse 19, the Lord Jesus Christ, his flesh is pictured there in the veil, where it says in Hebrews 10, 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And we saw that the veil of the temple, both in the holy place and on the exterior, just by the five pillars at the entrance, were made of those same material, fine twined linen, and of those same colors. What were they? Blue, purple, and scarlet. And we see those same colors, as we've seen now already, as we considered last week, on the ephod of the priest, the same colors. And we have seen the spiritual significance of those colors in the Word of God, not things that we have made up, in the Word of God. We thought of how that blue color represents that heavenly. We think of the blue sapphire stones in which Moses and the 70 elders saw God standing upon in heaven. It's that heavenly color. This high priest, who is the veil, and he came and has made the way to the Father through the veil of his flesh, has come from heaven. We've seen that the purple represents royalty. He shall come from the royal line of David, David's greater son, the Lord Jesus. He who would come from the tribe of Judah. We thought last week of how the Lord Jesus, as is emphasized in Hebrews, wouldn't come from the tribe of the Levites, but he would come from the tribe of Judah. The scepter shall not depart from Judah. He shall come from that royal line, and he shall be after the order of Melchizedek, who is both a priest and a king. The priests from the Levites could not be kings, neither could the kings be priests, as Saul tried to do himself. But this one comes after the order of Melchizedek. So blue, heavenly, purple being that royal color. And it's little wonder, as we have commented a few times, that when our Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, they put upon him a purple robe as they mocked him. Did they realize that this was truly the King of the Jews, which they put upon that super inscription upon his cross when he was dying? They put upon him a purple robe. And then the red, the scarlet, which was made from the Coccus Illicus, from the crushed worm. We read in the Psalm 22 how the Lord Jesus Christ was crushed for his people, how he was bruised for their iniquities. And then also here, hemmed in into this ephod and also into this breastplate, is gold. And we have seen many times how gold reflects honor, but it also reflects divinity. He is divine, and all glory and honor is to the Lord, who is crowned with many crowns. The same colors we saw last week are upon the pomegranates, which are upon the hem of the garment of the great high priest, so that when he went into the holy place, as we've read here, it was as if there was an announcement being made to God as he was bearing in that basin the blood of the spotless lamb, that it is he, this high priest, not another priest, but this is the great high priest. This is the Lord Jesus Christ being pictured here in this robe, in these garments of the high priest, that it is I, Father, it is I who is the great high priest of his people that is entering in, no other priest. Friends, if we will not see Christ here, I will say again, and I say to no shame, we are amongst the blind. We do not see, and the Lord must give us eyes to see these things. We may not readily understand them. But you know, if we read the Word of God and if we pray, the Lord will reveal these things. What do they mean? They're not here without purpose. Everything, as we've seen, is with purpose, is with significance. And so as the high priest went into that holy place, he was announcing that it is I. It is I who's of the characteristics of this blue, of this purple, heavenly, royal, and yet one who would shed his own blood for his people. No man could approach God the Father except God the Son, who appeared for us. We're told in Hebrews that he has passed through the heavens and has appeared for us. He has entered within the veil, through the veil of his own flesh, he being the great high priest of his people. As we thought last week, what did he have upon that ephod? He had two onyx stones with the names of the tribes of God's people. Six on each stone, thus bearing upon his shoulders them. Only Christ is able to bear his people. He is the good shepherd that comes and he seeks the lost and he brings them home. He sheds his blood for them. He loves them. Only he could do this. Hebrews 9:12, by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Redemption means to buy back, to purchase. And it is here in view the church of God, Acts 20, verse 28, which he has purchased with his own blood. Now, as we thought last week, the ephod, and we're considering various garments again. Hopefully, the Lord willing, this morning we'll come to the conclusion of all these garments. We not only considered the stones, but the ephod itself was not to be idolized. Remember how we thought last week of how Gideon made an ephod for himself, as we read in Judges 8:27, and how the people idolized that. The people went a-whoring after it, we read. And it became a snare unto Gideon, as well as to the people. We're not to idolize these garments, but we are to admire. We are to adore the one who these things reflect. Now we ask the question as we think about these garments, as we're in the middle this morning of considering all these garments, these great and glorious garments, we're told here, of beauty and glory. The men, surely, who have been asked, those skilled men, the verse 3, how are they going to do this? How are they going to make these things? Such a responsibility is upon them. And maybe you feel as a Christian in your life, there are things that are insurmountable, things too difficult for you. How were they going to do these things? Yes, they had a skill, but the Lord was going to give his Spirit. Notice the verse 3, and thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted. Notice whom I have filled with the Spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him. And we thought how these garments, they bring dignity to Aaron. But Christ is the one ultimately who brings beauty to this office of Aaron. But how were these workers going to do it? Well, they were going to be given the Spirit of wisdom, we read there. And it's true for every child of God. Whatever the Lord calls us to in his church, he gives us the Spirit of his wisdom. We are to seek it. So that glory is of God. Yes, they were skilled men, and of course we need certain practical gifts if we're going to do something. If we're going to teach, we're going to be able to speak. But we need, don't we, the Spirit of wisdom in whatever we do. You think of Elisha, before he was called to the office of prophet. What was Elisha? We think of his predecessor, the one before him, Elijah. The great Elijah. Who would stand in his shoes? Who would take up his mantle? Elisha? What was Elisha? Elisha was a poor farmer, an uneducated man, not a noble man, but he would become the great prophet Elisha. The Lord does this, and the Lord did it, didn't he, with the apostles? What were they before the Lord Jesus Christ called them? Fishermen. They weren't noble. They weren't highly educated men. But the Lord is our teacher. The Lord is the one who gives us wisdom. We read in Acts 4 and the verse 13 how these men had overturned the world. They turned the world upside down. And yet, who are they? We read there, unlearned and ignorant men. You see, so the glory and the excellency is of God. God is the one. It's a reminder to us, isn't it, that it's the Lord's work. It's for the Lord's glory. Now, we'll be taken up with this breastplate this morning and the remainder of the items. Now, this breastplate was that which was most prominent. When we look at the high priest, it is that which stands out. It's that which is right out on the front, as it were, and also the gold plate that was above his head that said holiness to the Lord. But this was so prominent upon the high priest, this breastplate. Verse 15, and thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment with cunning work after the work of the ephod. Thou shalt make it of gold, of blue, and of purple, and of scarlet, and of fine twined linen. Thou shalt make it. And again, you notice, it's again, same as the ephod, made of those same representative colors, speaking of Christ, those colors of our Lord Jesus, the blue, heavenly, the purple, royal, the scarlet, speaking of that crimson line of redemption, which we find throughout the Bible, the Word of God, prophesying concerning the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ, that which the angels longed to look into, that which the prophets spoke of, and yet they didn't see them quite clearly. This breastplate is also that with those same colors. Now you notice it was four square and doubled over. It was folded. Verse 16, four square it shall be, being doubled. That is, it's folded over so that there was a, so that there, you could put something in the middle. And we'll see that a little bit later. The Urim and the Thummim were put inside that fold. A span shall be the length thereof, and a span shall be the breadth thereof. Now upon this folded breastplate, upon the front of it were, you notice there, 12 stones. And we're told there that they bore the names of each tribe. Each tribe placed upon each stone. That breastplate being upon the very heart of the priest. It's very significant. It's very obvious, really, what it represents. The Lord's people upon his heart. In fact, we're told that here. Verse 29, and Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart. And of course, it's upon his chest, but it's really to represent the fact that we are upon the heart of the great high priest, the Lord Jesus. We've always been upon his heart if we are his people. You know, when it speaks of Israel, we're speaking, when it comes to Christ, of the spiritual Israel. We read in Romans chapter 9, and not all Israel are Israel, but those who have been given that precious like gift of faith, those of the household of faith, the true sons of Abraham. This signifies how the Lord Jesus Christ has us upon his heart. Here it's the upon the fore of the priest, it is the most prominent feature of this priest. And that's the most prominent feature of Christ. As he came into the world, why did he come into the world? He came because he has us upon his heart. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Friends, do we realize why Christ came into the world? Because he came to redeem these. See what they are. They're precious stones. But what were they? They're the dust of the earth. That's what we are by nature. But here, the jewels of the Lord. Consider these precious jewels that Aaron would now bear upon his heart. And you notice, no matter how poor a tribe was or how small, and think of them, the tribes are varied in size. Some of them very small, some of them very insignificant. some of them greater. They're all precious to the Lord. And of course, you may value one stone above the other, but the Lord doesn't. They're all precious to him. So you notice the four rows here of three. Sardis, topaz, carbuncle. Carbuncle being very ruby red, emerald, sapphire, diamond, lager, agate, and an amethyst. The last row, beryl, onyx, and jasper. Each and every one of them of the same value to the Lord. We may say ourselves, well, the diamond is worth much. Well, the Lord values them all. They're all the same to him, all redeemed. And notice, verse 20b, they shall be set in gold in their enclosings. Each and every one of them worth a great and glorious setting. That is how the Lord's people are. Whether you are a minister, or whether you are a person who may feel that he doesn't do much for the Lord, we're all as equally valued. You, if you're a child of God, are as valued to the Lord as much as John Calvin is, as much as Charles Haddon Spurgeon is. You're of equal value to him. What a precious thought. We are whatever we are by the grace of God, and precious to him. His stones, in the same way as we think of our great high priest, the Lord Jesus. He came to seek and to save every one of his lost. Remember how in that parable, if one of the sheep should go, even though there are 99, he would go and he would seek the lost. And in the house of God, there are many varied jewels. In 2 Timothy 2:19, the apostle says this, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his." He's speaking about his people. And he says, "And everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." And then he says this, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also wood and earth." You know, in God's house, there are varied people. There's that wonderful passage in Isaiah chapter 22, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, pictured in Eliakim. Eliakim, who would be a nail in a sure place, upon whom the house of God will depend, and it's true for the Lord Jesus as we think of these stones hanging upon the breast of this high priest. We think of the great high priest who was a nail in a sure place, as Eliakim was. And we read of this one, Eliakim, "And he shall be for a glorious throne to his father's house, and they shall hang upon him all the glory of his father's house, the offspring and the issue, all vessels of small quantity, from the vessels of cups, even to all the vessels of flagons." Great vessels. Each and every one, though, is precious to the Lord. And everyone is dependent on him. That's true. I'm as much dependent upon the Lord as you are. And thanks be to God, we are dependent upon him. We who are by nature lost in this world. But each one is redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ to be his jewels. We have that wonderful passage in Malachi 3, where in the days of Malachi, and the people, many of them didn't fear the Lord, but many did. A number of them did. And we read of this, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, that thought upon his name, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him." They are his jewels. We may not seem like much now, but you see, do you fear the Lord? If we fear the Lord, we speak often of him. We remember his name. What is his name? His character. His personhood. These are those who are precious to him. They are his jewels. And they shall go from his heart to his crown of glory. They are his jewels. They're precious. There's an amazing verse in Deuteronomy. And Moses addresses the people, Deuteronomy 32:9. And Moses reminds his people that the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. The Lord's portion is his people. What God is looking forward to most are to see his people in glory, to be perfected to the likeness of Jesus Christ. That's the Lord's portion. We who are but dust, worthless by nature, rebels, haters of God, despisers of God, turn now to love God. Friend, does this not take your heart up? Do we not rejoice in our great high priest who came into this world to bear us and to bear our sins upon the cross? He not only bears us in his heart, but he bore our sins. It's the only way he could redeem us, by bearing our sins. Our sins were laid upon him. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:3, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And because of that, he has redeemed us. And we are now those living stones coming unto him. Oh, how precious is the work of the Lord. You see, dear Christian, no matter how insignificant you might feel this morning, remember, you are his jewel. We may despair at our lives this morning. We may say that the life I have lived this past week is shameful. Well, it may be. But yes, we're accepted in the Beloved, and we have times of difficulty and struggle, and God will perfect us through those trials, as we thought about in the prayer meeting. God will work in us. He has begun that work if Christ has died for us. Just as Peter, remember how Peter let the Lord down. Remember how Peter denied the Lord. But the Lord prayed for him. Peter, I prayed for thee. And it was the responsibility of the high priest to always to bear this, not just when he went into the Holy of Holies, but we read there, into the holy place, whenever he was. And our Lord is always before the Father, and he's always praying for us. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. So don't get down. Set your eyes upon the author and the finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus, that's what we must be about. Looking unto him, as the people would always have to look unto this high priest to remember them in prayer before the Father, so the Lord Jesus always remembers us. What an encouragement. So these stones shall be upon the heart, upon the breast of the high priest. Now, next we have the rings of the breastplate. Now, the interpretation of this is somewhat unified. We know that rings or chains, if you like, signify strength. And here this breastplate is hung, isn't it, to the ephod. And we thought of this ephod being Christ, chained to him forever. We think of the church, his bride, that is going to be fashioned like unto him. And we're going to bear his resemblance. We shall be like him, John says, for we shall see him as he is. And that's chained. We have the golden chain of five, don't we? In Romans chapter 8, how the apostle speaks of those whom Christ, who he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. And then the apostle goes on to tell us, for those whom he did predestinate, he also called, and whom he calls, he justifies. And those whom he justifies, he shall finally glorify. Chained together through the power of God, nothing will ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, nothing. The Lord has said in Jeremiah 31, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. You see, the Lord knows the work from the beginning to the end. The Lord knows everything. And there is an important detail. These were linked, notice, by a lace of blue, verse 28, and they shall bind the breastplate by the rings thereof unto the rings of the ephod with a lace of blue, that it may be above the curious girdle of the ephod, and that the breastplate be not loosed from the ephod. Now again, this is the heavenly color. Heaven has declared it. The Father has declared it. He has made a covenant and he has made an oath with his Son. He has sworn by himself, even unto Abraham, that Christ shall have a seed. Now, the girdle that we read of there was like a belt that went all around, kept the garments close to him. We read of Christ, don't we, in Revelation 1:13, that he is girded about from the paps with a golden girdle, glorious girdle. All these things are held together by God, dear friends. You know, Peter says to Christians, we are to gird the loins of our minds. The idea is there to be ready, to be fast. But God has fastened these things from all eternity past and decreed that they shall be. They shall be. But furthermore, we're coming back now to this breastplate. What is inside this breastplate? Well, we read of it there in the verse 30, the Urim and the Thummim. And thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and Thummim. What are these things? Well, we're not told in the scriptures exactly what they are. Not exactly, but we do know what their function are. We do know what their function are. The meaning of the words, although we don't know what the objects are, the meaning of the words are light and perfection. Light and perfection. We also know what these things are to do. Whatever these objects are within that breastplate, they were to give the high priest leading and guidance, judgment, so the deliverance might be wrought for the people. We have that occasion in Numbers 27, where Eleazar is there, Eleazar the high priest at that time, and Joshua was to lead the people, but he was to consult the high priest who had the Urim and the Thummim. And he was to know the Lord's direction. Well, you can read that passage in your own time. These things were to give direction. There was a time too when Saul, wicked King Saul, inquired of the Lord, 1 Samuel 28:6. The Lord answered him, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, or by prophets. So this is something that the Lord reveals, but it is his prerogative to reveal, his Spirit. Now, of course, in the Lord Jesus Christ, God speaks to us. We have at the opening of the book of Hebrews, if you just turn there with me for a moment, Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. So, in divers manners, in many ways, but in these last days has spoken unto us by his Son. We have no need for these two objects, for we have Christ as our high priest. And Paul says to the Corinthians that we have the mind of Christ. We have his Spirit. We also, furthermore, have his word. We have read there from Hebrews chapter 1 that how God spake in various times in many different ways by divers manners. But he has spoken. Now we have the word of God. We have the full revelation, as much as we need to know. And we also have the Holy Spirit who indwells us. Christ is our great high priest. And in him we read Colossians 2:2, in Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We have no need for these objects. Well, we are filled with the Holy Spirit, not to completeness, but we are to seek him more and more in the church. But the high priest would have to use these things. God chose to work through these, but God has now given his word that we may know his will for our lives. But let me say this, his Spirit never contradicts his word. The Holy Spirit never leads us away from the word. It only confirms the word to us. Now we understand, don't we? We thought last week how every Christian is a priest unto God. We do not have this breastplate, but the other priests, as we thought last week, have an ordinary, plain vesture of an ephod, And they also had that undergarment, that pure white linen underneath. We are clad, aren't we, with the righteousness of Christ? The pure linen of his holy, spotless life, we are covered. The priests also have these breeches, as we read, these undergarments underneath that white linen to cover their nakedness. And Christ, he covers our nakedness. Remember how he counseled the church at Laodicea, how that they would see that they are naked, that they're blind, that they're poor. Without Christ, dear friends, we're naked. Our sin is exposed. We have no righteousness, but in Christ we have all these things. He is our God, and we as his priests, not high priests, are to offer up spiritual sacrifices unto God. Revelation 1:5, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood has made us kings and priests unto God. And Peter says, ye now being a spiritual household and holy priesthood are to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Christ Jesus. We who are these stones, now living stones, God's people who bore our sin there on the cross, are now to be these living sacrifices. We're now in the state of grace. We are kings and priests. We rule. Yes, we rule with Christ. Grace reigns in the heart now. Sin no longer reigns. And we follow after the Lord Jesus. We thought a little bit about this fair mitre. You notice this fair mitre that was to be put upon the high priest. Verse 36, and thou shalt make a plate of pure gold and grave upon it like the engraving of a signet. Well, upon his head was a turban, like it was not pointed, but it was sort of like a crown. And then in front of that was this gold plate that we've read of here, a plate of pure gold. And thou shalt grave upon it holiness to the Lord. And let us say that only the Lord Jesus has done that. It signifies all that he is. See the beauty of Christ. He is the one that is holy. Holiness to the Lord. But we are to be holy now in the Lord. We who have been redeemed by his precious blood. We who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. Henry Law says, and that glorious name, holiness to the Lord, shines forth. My soul, look up to heaven. Jesus there ministers to consummate salvation. What is it that his front declares? Holiness to the Lord. Adore him, for such is his title. His person is holiness to the Lord. Unspotted purity is his essence. If it were otherwise, he could not take a Savior's place. His work is holiness to the Lord. He came to sanctify himself, that he might do his Father's will. His blood, his righteousness, his prayers are holiness to the Lord. His people, in their souls, their work, their ways, are also to be holiness to their Lord. He found them sinners. He made them holy. He gave them new hearts, new lives, to be forever holiness to the Lord. Such is our robed high priest. Is he not glory? Is he not beauty? Who will not love him? Who will not praise him? Who will not pray, glorify me in thy glory? Beautify me in thy glory, for I am thine. If we claim to be the bride of Christ, if we claim to be redeemed by the Lord Jesus, has he not said, be ye holy, for I am holy? And does not the Bible say, dear friend, pursue peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord? If we are redeemed, we will be a holy nation, a royal priesthood. We will be. The apostle says we are to examine ourselves, whether we are in the faith. Have we somewhat in our lives reflected this Lord Jesus? Do we bear upon our own hearts God's people? In some measure, some way, we are to reflect Christ, aren't we? We're to adorn ourselves with the gospel. We're to be like our blessed Lord Jesus. We are to be holiness to the Lord. Whatever our time is taken up with, is it holiness to the Lord? Now remember this. It was only the high priest that wore that. And we read how that when the people brought their sacrifices, that he was to wear that. And to remember that, in a sense, he was representing the great Saviour, that only through him could their sacrifices be acceptable. Notice the verse 38, and it shall be upon Aaron's forehead, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things which the children of Israel shall hallow in their holy gifts. And it shall be always upon his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. And remember this, here's this. Even our best works, friends, are only accepted through Christ. Remember how the Lord Jesus said, when you've done all that you're supposed to do, go and say, you're unprofitable servants. Why? Because even our best works are so often tainted with sin, pride, and everything else. But we're accepted in the Beloved. What a wonderful Savior. May he put in our hearts true desires for holiness. You know, the Lord says, blessed are the pure in heart. We're not perfect in heart, but we desire holiness. We desire that everything, surely, that we do is holy to the Lord. The people, as they brought their gifts, some of them may have taken pride, maybe in their spotless lamb that they brought. But what were they? What were they? What are we? We have sinned. We've come short of God's glory. We're not sufficient for any of the things, but our sufficiency is in Christ. He will redeem, he will help, and he will bless. Do we have a heart for this great high priest? Well, if we are redeemed, we'll have a heart for his people, and we'll have a heart for his glory, a zeal for his house. May everything we do be holiness to the Lord. May God sanctify our lives. Peter says, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And he says this, dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Dear friends, God saves us, not simply to take us to heaven, but that we might be a holy people, and that we might glorify his name, and we might enjoy him forever. Amen. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. The book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. The Lord's portion is his people, and Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for the one that bore us upon his heart from all eternity, the Son of God that loved us, and then came into the world and gave himself for us, bearing upon his heart us there upon the cross, and bearing our sins in his own body, and now still bearing as our great high priest that ever liveth to intercede for us, bearing us upon his heart, and how even we are engraved upon the palms of his hands. We thank thee that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And if we love him, he has said we will keep his commandments. How can the commandments of our Lord Jesus be grievous to us, Father, when we consider with what great love we have been loved? Help us, Lord, to prove our love to thee each day. Help us, Lord, to bear before our minds the one that has gone before us, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now sat down at the right hand of the majesty of God on high. Oh, Lord, we thank thee for our great high priest. May we truly be in this coming week as he is, holiness unto the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Father, bless this entire day to us, and bring glory to thy precious name. Amen.